So this was a research project that I, for which I received a grant from World Oral Literature Project. From Shrine to Stage, the Challenges of Archiving Ritualistic Performances with Reference to the Tejaji Ballad of Rajasthan. The full story of the ballad is, I think it is in your handouts. And very briefly, I would just like to tell you a story of, you know, very briefly, the story of Tejaji, who is a snake deity. Tejaji is a snake deity, widely revered in Rajasthan. In the 20-hour ballad, the story is told of how the young Tejaji, finding out that he is actually married, wants to go and fetch his wife. He has many adventures, including rescuing a snake from a forest fire, which insists on biting him as it resents being rescued, as its mates have perished. Tejaji promises to come back with his wife. After battling some cow thieves, he finally returns, but is so wounded that the only place left for him to be bitten is on his tongue. Both the warriors and the horse die, but as a reward for keeping his promise, Tejaji is told that whoever ties a string in his name will be saved from snake poison. The young wife climbs onto the funeral pyre and dies with her husband on her lap to become Sati. So I'm playing an audio visual of the ballad over here. So actually, this is how the ballad starts. This is the first starting song of the ballad. And this is the group which I have recorded. The 20 hours of ballad that has been recorded is from this group, and I have received the grant to particularly document this group. The project, supported by the World Oral Literature Project, relates to the documentation of the Tejaji ballad sung by different communities throughout Rajasthan. The focus is in southeastern Rajasthan, where a distinct style of singing in the Haduti dialect exists. Ethnographically, this region is also called Haduti. Geographically, the area is very large and many variations in the style of performance exist. So, dear friends, you can see, you can relate, if you know the Delhi and Mumbai, this is Rajasthan and this is southeast of Rajasthan. And then you can come down to this, the zoom up area. So, this Haduti region has been divided into four districts. One is Bundi, Kota, this is Bara, and this is Jhalawad. And then I have enlarged it into this area, and over here you can see these red dots. These red dots marks the area where I have done the recordings. The main village where the project is based is Thikarda, which is in Bundi district. This is a Bundi town, and near Bundi town, this is the Thikarda village. So the ballad is from this region, but at other places I have done sample recording just to understand the variations in the style, and I'm going to play the variations in my presentation little longer. The image of Tejaji exists in the form of a warrior sitting on a mare, holding a spear in his hand, and a snake climbing up to bite him. So you can see this, that the snake is climbing through the horse and is biting Tejaji on the tongue. This image is so popularly found in calendars, cassette cover, shrine paintings, and in stone reliefs. The iconography is so strongly rooted in the minds of the people that at one village, the Bhopa means the priest of the shrine of Tejaji. He exactly imitated it on the occasion of the Tejadashmi festival, which throws everyone out of their rational minds. So I'm just going to play a video, and you will be stuck to see this.
Yeah!
So he was exactly bitten. The Bhopa exactly imitated the style, the iconography in this form, and he was bitten by this cobra. The project aims to record the full 20 hours of audio of the ballad, transcribe it into local Harothi dialect, and then translate it into Hindi and English for larger research purposes. The final objective is to publish a book along with the audio DVDs and to freely distribute them among the singers, villagers, schools and libraries in the area. The main singers are of Mali gardener community of Thikardha village situated near Bundi town. So these are our singers again over there. The recordings were done during the last monsoon at the local shrine of Tejaji outside the village at night to avoid external disturbances. The singers and the instrument players were mostly aged in their late 50s and 60s. The young generation was absent from the Jagran. The Jagrans are actually the night performances. To record the complete ballad, it took 6 night-long sessions on alternate nights. The transcription and translation is in hand, and the book along with the DVD will be ready by June 2011. Apart from the Thikardha village, recordings were also made in some 24 other villages in the region to understand the variations and nuances in the style of the performances. So here I'm just playing 4 samples, simply 4 samples of different kind of styles of Tejaji ballad that exist. You can see extreme in the north. This village exactly doesn't fall in Harothi, but it is just north of Harothi. And there you can see, you just listen to the audio of this. Now this is another village which is in Harothi, extreme east of Harothi, that adjoins to the Madhya Pradesh, which is another state of India. So you see the audio over here. And this is from south of Harothi. And this is our main village about which the book is going to be published. Now my main paper is about the challenges that I have faced, so these were the few challenges. The ballad of Tejaji occupies an important part of the sung oral tradition. The singers are basically non-professional people who have built an expertise during the years of continuous performances at Tejaji shrines. The tradition is not caste or community specific. The singers and devotees come from all sections of the society. Small Tejaji shrines exist in every village, and different fairs and festivals marks the importance of the deity. At its core, the performance of the ballad is most important. A separate style of Tejaji performance also exists in the region in form of khel. Khel, if actually it's like a drama, it's like a Ramlila, it's like a nautanki if you've heard of. Enacted on stage as a serial drama over several nights, but this has almost died out. In its original form, men come together at night to sing the ballad during the monsoon months. This period used to be spread over 2 months, but increasingly the performance only begins close to the main festival of Teja Dashmi, which marks the end of the season. At many villages, the singing only happened because I was commissioning it and instruments needed repair and vocalists were out of practice. This affected the quality of recording. So over here, when I went to record in this village, they just start repairing this percussion instrument, what they called dholak. It was not in the right shape. It was a great physical challenge of endurance for me, and I finally managed to record on 36 nights out of 60. You can understand, I have to be awakened for 36 nights out of 60 nights. I couldn't sleep. This was in 2 months. In the month of August and September 2010, for a genuine performance, a Jagran has to be called and a feast thrown. So this is a feast that I have to organize for the singer, for the villagers. And this needs a lot of expenditure. This involves ghee and puja material as well as bidis and endless cup of tea for the musicians and any audience who attends the Jagrans. At one recording, I had to pay for refreshment for 100 people. This was not the norm, however, and the problem was to attract any audience. The singers and musicians would sing for 30 minutes to an hour with intermediate breaks for smoking, chewing tobacco and tea. The performance is exhausting and therefore the singers and players take turns, but the others tend to fall asleep. At the end of the session, they would have to be shaken away. You can see over there, they're all sleeping over there. They go to sleep, and I really have to persuade them because they have to take chance. Like, for example, if one person is playing dholak, he can't play more than 30 minutes. Then another person has to come. If one is playing an algoza, the flute, then he gets exhausted within 30 to 45 minutes. So another person has to come. So they really have to be pulled to perform. Traditionally, the singing of Tejaji ballad takes place at the village shrine with the singers and instrumental players sitting on ground facing each other in a circle. Mostly, two men sing the ballad accompanied by a few others. In one village, I remembered a group of up to 50 men facing each other. One initiates the basic line of the ballad and other repeats them. The accompanying musical instrument used are dholak. Dholak is a percussion instrument. Algoza, which is aerophonic instrument like twin flutes. Manjira, which are metallic clappers, and also clapping with hands. So this is dholak, these are metallic clappers, and this is algoza. The aim is to induce the spirit of Tejaji to enter the priest or bhopa so that he can exorcise snake poison from man or beast. It is just not the man, it's a beast also, the cattle also. They are also bitten by the snake. So the poison has to be exorcised from the cattle also. The possibility of encountering snakes is highest during the monsoon when the ballad is sung. The narration of the ballad supports a strong belief that whoever ties a thread in the name of Tejaji will survive the snake bite. So this person who has been bitten by a snake, the bhopa is tying a thread to it. You can see this kind of a thread. Though this is not just for the snake bite, but there was a ceremony in my family, so we tied these such threads. So like this. However, the spirit often would not come until 4 a.m. and the singers has to keep going in turn until it happened. At one village, all the musicians fell asleep and I have to give up for that night. Another challenge was to collect the musicians in first place. If there is a Jagran called, they have to come, but I would always have to exercise 2-3 hours each time to gather them at the shrine, despite all prior contacts and invitations having been made. It is, if it rained heavily, the event would be cancelled or moved inside, where recording become impossible because of sound resonance, and for me personally, because of the stultifying atmosphere of BD smoke. Many times I drove home giddy due to lack of sleep and an overdose of smoke. because this ended in the morning by 4 a.m. and then I have to drive back home. To record at one of the villages inhabited by the Kanjar community, notorious for its illegal activities and crime, I had to take a police escort. Everyone in the village was drunk, including the instrument players. This is one image. And you can see you can see a bottle of liquor over there, and they were all drinking and they were enjoying, they were performing. But the performance turned out to be fabulous and was particularly participated by the women dancers. I never found these women dancers anywhere in the whole ballet, but this was the only village. Some of the performers had passed out by the morning from their excesses. Having worked with more sober Thikarda singers last year, I was able to gain their confidence, and it is not traditionally to pay them individually, but to donate something for the shrine. In return for the 6-night recording sessions, the shrine has new paintings and a cement floor outside on which they can perform under a tree. The village has decided that it wants money towards a roof, and we have promised ₹20,000. So we got this floor made, this cement floor made for them to perform before the shrine, and these paintings done by the local painter from the Bundi town. At the end of the recording, during the Teerdashmi Mela, we called them and honored each with a flower garland and a dhoti. They appeared to be satisfied, but with other groups, it was different. Some groups assumed that I was going to make money out of them, and therefore demanded a high fees and travel expenses. Others wanted me to publish cassettes and CDs for them in return for playing. Very few could understand the concept of recordings being for academic and archival purposes. During the recording sessions, at many places, the singers could not be motivated to sing without the installation of a sound system. They have to become so accustomed to microphones that the pitch and volume at which they sing has considerably reduced. They feel uncomfortable to sing without the microphones. Ironically, they especially like to listen to themselves during the performance by tilting one of the loudspeakers towards themselves. With the use of microphone and amplifier, the singers do not have to exert themselves much. The empathy between the singers and the instrumental players is lost. An external person controls the blend and volume of the ballet by monitoring and adjusting the input signal levels. Now the main issue is like the tradition is shifting from shrine to the stage. Whenever an occasion urgency of snake bite arises, the singers are called upon to perform. It is customary for them to incite the bhopa with the spirit of Tejaji through the singing of the ballet. The possessed bhopa then answers the problems of the devotees and symbolically exorcises snake poison from the body of the affected person. The ballad symbolizes reverence to the deity for life. Thus, the performer's performance, the bhopa, are strictly related with the shrine of Tejaji. Traditionally, these cannot be separated. Over the years, the shift in the tradition is happening, leading to stage performances. One of the reasons is popularity of the religious Hindu bhajan performances on stage. The Tejaji singers are synthesizing their styles accordingly. They are moving out from the confines of the community to larger prominence, seeking audience in the face of influence from outside. The repertoire is losing its strength on stage. When the group sings the ballad at village shrine, it is sung in consecutive mode. The story progresses in linear manner. On stage, multiple groups participate. The time duration is short. Thus, only a popular part of the ballad is sung. The audience is very diverse. The aspect of entertainment is more important than belief. Thus, the singers, dancers, and electronic equipment and instruments dramatize it. The objective is shifting from honoring the deity to gathering accolades of the audience. One reason for the evolution of a stage style is the desire of the middle-class development lobby to provide a platform for the dying rural traditions. Musicians are invited onto an urban or even international platform and encouraged to devise a short program which will fit into the constraints of a planned entertainment. Under the name of Haruti culture, the audience is treated to an overblown, overdressed, Bollywood-style parody of the Tejaji tradition, with even a female singer backing up the storyteller. There is always a prancing horse dancer, usually men, traveling with an umbrella. The audience, which probably does not understand the language of the singing, is introduced to the visual elements only. For generations, these traditions have survived in the environment of socio-religious beliefs and customs. How far the stage will carry them and in which direction has to be what? You just hear to the audio of this performance that was done at one of the stage. Thus, the audio, video and written records of this project will serve as a cultural heritage for the future, but it will also constitute a fossilized archive of a constantly changing tradition. That's all.